We have to admit it. Every single one of us have messed up as parents. I want everyone to raise your right hand. Everybody just raise your right hand like this, okay? Right here, all right, just point it at me. Now, repeat after me. I have messed up. Good. I heard somebody over here say she has messed up.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. If you have children who are causing you some sleepless nights, today's message will be an encouragement to you. You'll learn that you can raise godly children in an ungodly world. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Raising Kids Without Raising Your Blood Pressure.
After 20 years of raising three children, 10 years as a youth pastor, and over 22 years in ministry, I have two encouraging words for parents. It's tough. It's tough. And for the single people, two words. Get ready. Get ready. You know, nobody said it was going to be easy. James Dobson just put out a book some time ago called Parenting is Not for Cowards. And I believe that. And it's true. It's not easy. Mark Twain said it this way. He felt the best way to raise kids is when they get to about age 13, he said, put them in a barrel, close the lid, and feed them through a hole. And when they turn 15, plug up the hole. Well, how many of you are parents? Would you raise your hand? How many of you are parents? All right, okay. How many of you are empty nesters? Raise your hand. Empty nesters, raise your hand. Okay, look around, see the smiles on their face. Go ahead. How many of you are boomerang parents? You thought you were empty nesters, but they came back. Okay, yeah, all right, yeah. You're in the same case as we're in. How many of you are grandparents? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, now grandparents, you have a very, very special role. And what I share today is not something that excludes you, because you are very important in this spin cycle culture of ours where no one has time, and especially in Hawaii where both parents have to work a lot of times just to survive. And in fact, you are some of the most important people in our children's lives, especially in this tearaway society, throwaway society, where families just get separated and we no longer live near our grandparents. If you have grandparents close, thank God for them. And if you're a grandparent, remember that God says that your job isn't done when your kids go out of the house. In fact, it says this, these things you shall teach to your sons and to your sons' sons. God is saying that there's a role for grandparents, and they are very special. In fact, someone said, Wayne, the measure of a parent is not what his kids do. The measure of a parent is what his grandkids do. Because that's the extent of the ministry that God gives to people or parents. I think grandparents are the most wonderful. I remember my grandmother praying for me, and I think one of the reasons I'm saved today is because of a praying grandmother. There was an essay that I have here that was written by a third grader now. She wanted to describe her grandparents, especially her grandmother. And so this is a short essay, I think you'll like it, of a third grader now, on what is a grandma. Ready? Here it is. A grandma is a lady who has no children of her own. So she likes other people's little boys and girls. A grandfather, now here it is for you guys now. A grandfather is a man grandmother. I like that. They go for walks and they talk about fishing and the clouds. Grandmothers don't have anything to do except just be there. They're so old, they shouldn't play or run. It's enough to just drive us to the store where the pretend horse is and have lots of money ready. When they take us for walks, they slow down when we pass pretty things like flowers and caterpillars. They never say, hurry up. Usually they're fat. But not too fat to tie their shoes. They wear glasses and funny underwear. and they can take their teeth and gums out. This one's good. It says, they don't have to be smart, but they just have to answer questions like, why do dogs hate cats? And how come God isn't married? When they read, you'll like this one. When they read to us, they don't skip. Now, some of you may not understand that if you don't have kids. All right, true confessions. How many of you parents skip when you read? Raise your hand. Yeah, I'm tired, and after about the fifth page, and Abby's kind of dozing off, I go to page 18, and I keep reading. They don't skip when they read, or they don't mind if it's the same story again and again. I think everybody should have one or more, especially if you don't have TV, because grandmas are the only ones who have a lot of time. Isn't that good? Before we launch into this message, I want us to get one thing straight. I am not an expert on parenting. I used to be, and then we had kids of our own. Charlie Shedd wrote a book called How to Raise Kids. And then as he was in the last and final edit of that book, he had his first child, and he changed the title, Some Suggestions on Raising Kids. He wrote the book, and then he had his second child. He changed the name, Helpful Hints on Raising Children. And his third kid came, and he changed the whole book again, and he entitled it Feeble Attempts for Fellow Strugglers. Well, you know, we haven't gotten this down to a science. Even though parenting is one of the oldest professions of mankind, I've still seen, you know, families, good families, produce good kids, and usually not so good families don't produce not so good, they produce not so good kids. But on the other hand, I've also seen some really good families produce some really tough kids. And I've seen some really rough families produce good kids. I mean, it's not the norm, but it does happen. But today, what I want us to do is this. I want us to talk about this so in such a way as to enhance the odds so that we will be raising kids that'll become people who are in love with God. And I know in a church our size, there's going to be a lot of people who are in a lot of pain. They'll say, Wayne, you don't know my kids, and you don't know the situation I'm in. While that is true, I don't know your situation, I must say that I do know my God. Because really, I am a living testimony of what happens when God invades somebody's life, even though they come from a rough, broken, beaten down family. God can invade somebody's life. And I've also seen what happens when God takes some parents who have been totally self-absorbed, and he opens their eyes to the value of what it means to be a parent. And he impacts their lives. I've seen incredible things happen. And what we want to do today is really simple. We want to raise the importance of being a parent. We want to raise the importance of that. And we want to raise your expectation of the impact that a parent makes on a child's life. I want to raise your expectation of the impact that you make on the next generation of leaders. And I want to raise the importance of being a parent. You see, in our culture today, I really think we need to applaud those who really love being a parent. Those who say, you know, parenting is of such a value that I'm going to do whatever it takes to give my kids the best I can in the area of character and child raising and the things of God. Because you see, we live in a world that doesn't applaud that. We live in a world that applauds titles, career advancement, more. We live in a culture that applauds total tolerance, no, not discipline, tolerance, independence, freedom, and the right to do whatever anybody wants to. So you know what has happened? We have become people who live in a society that sires kids, but no longer raises children. You see the difference? We want to just have this right to just go and sire kids. See, if you have the right plumbing, you can sire kids. But it takes a person serious about the next generation that'll raise children. And so what we want to talk about today is not just siring children, but to raise them in a way that would bless and honor the Lord. Now, all in all, I don't want this in any way to be guilt-producing. We cannot turn back the clock, but we can sure enhance the odds that our kids will become, with God's help, what He intends for them to be. But before we continue, I want everyone to raise your right hand. Everybody just raise your right hand like this, okay? Right here. All right. Just point it at me. Now, repeat after me. I have messed up.
I have messed up.
Good. I heard somebody over here say, she has messed up. Because, you know, we have to admit it. Every single one of us have messed up as parents, as children. I mean, we've said things we shouldn't have said. We've done things that we shouldn't have done. Do you know that even the most perfect parent has rebellious kids? God is the most perfect parent there is. God is our Heavenly Father, and He has rebellious kids. And so we can't turn back the clock, but we can ask God what He wants us to do. You see, when my kids were born and my children came out of the womb, I noticed that they didn't have an instruction manual with them. You ever notice that? So we have to rely on another book, and that's the Bible. And God says in the Bible, be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. What is He saying? Here it is. You can write this in your notes. The bottom line is God is saying this. Treat your children the way God treats them. Real simple. Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, remember, God is a perfect heavenly Father, but does He have all perfect kids? No. So He's not saying be perfect in our way of defining that word, but He's saying be perfect just like your heavenly Father is perfect. Does He have some kids that go astray? Yeah. But how does He treat them? That's what He's saying. So here is, I mean, we could just say this and go home. Treat your kids the way God treats them. That's what He's asking. How is God treating my kids? Treat them the same way. How does God think about my kids? Think about them the same way. How would God discipline my kids? Discipline them the same way. No, not like the flesh would want to, not like my anger would want to, not like the world or the culture would want to, but how would God treat them? That's what we want to do. You see, I believe our kids deserve our very best efforts. And these kids are not ours, they're God's. And so we get to treat them the way God would. No, not with total tolerance, but with discipline and love. Now, we can all learn together. We can't turn back the clock, but we can learn from this moment on. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I love to be a part of this church because this church really is an application church. We really try our best to apply. And the people in New Hope love to learn and love to apply. I mean, I was with my wife on a fine date at a very fine restaurant some time ago. And a lady from our church came right up to me. I mean, right in the middle of Zippy's. And, and she said, my husband, by the way, he goes to our Saturday morning men's study. She said, my husband, Pastor Wayne, my husband is changed. He's treating me so much better. And then she began to enumerate some of the things he was doing. He says, he no longer leaves his bibs on the floor, and he's starting to brush his teeth. He says, he uses deodorant. And she said, he even washed the dishes for the first time in years. He came home and he washed the dishes. She said, it's been a week since and I still haven't found out where he put them all away, but he washed the dishes. He's really changing. And I thought, wow, isn't that neat? I'm so glad we are part of a church that really wants to try and do God's best. And we're going to stumble and fumble and fall. But let's take a look at what God's instruction manual says about raising our kids and not our blood pressure. Where does it start? Where does it start? Would you read with me under the very first point there, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 and 6 together. Ready? Go. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and with all your strength. These commands I give you today shall be on your hearts. Would you circle those words, shall be on your hearts? You see, the first principle in raising our kids is, number one, would you remember, it all begins with me. It all begins with you. Not with our kids, not with our grandkids. It starts with us. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, look closely at yourselves, test yourselves to see if you're living in the faith. God is saying constantly, look at the person in the mirror, because it starts with you. These commands shall be on your heart. Now later on he says, and these commands you shall teach them to your sons. But he says, before you teach, you have to be. You see, God is less concerned with what you're doing and a whole lot more concerned with what you're becoming. Why? If you miss everything else this morning, catch this. Why is this point so important? Here it is. Listen very carefully. Because you can teach what you know, but you will only reproduce what you are. You can teach what you know, but you will only reproduce what you are. And our kids, a part of our family, will be a reproduction of us. And so you can teach good things. You do what I tell you, and you do what I say, not what I do. It doesn't work. You see, kids are watching. They're watching the way I treat people. They're watching the way I respond to problems or resolve problems. The way I treat my parents. They're watching the way I spend or invest my money. What gets me angry, the jokes that I laugh at, the things that I tell. You see, your life is bugged. If you're a parent, your life is absolutely bugged, and you will communicate with everything you do and say. The question is, what are you communicating? Not if. You communicate. With everything you do and say, you're communicating. The question is, what are you communicating? Years ago, I wrote a hit song called Cats in the Cradle. No, not really. I'm just joking. Harry Chapin wrote it, and it was just a well-known hit song, and it goes something like this. Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon. And it talks about, when I grow up, I'm going to be just like you, Dad. I'm going to be just like you. And sure enough, this song goes on where this kid becomes exactly like his dad. And what his dad didn't want him to become, he became, because that's what the dad was like. And that's really true. You see, our convictions will be passed on. Now, your conviction is different from your beliefs. Your convictions are things you live by. That's woven into your personality. Your beliefs are the things you have strong opinions about. But your kids will not follow your beliefs. They'll follow your convictions. That's the stuff you live. And that's why it begins with us. We have to be people who are focusing on three things. Number one, would you write these down? Number one, focus on your passion for Christ. That has to be so clear to the bone, so that when nobody's looking, when you're at home, will they be able to see the same faith you have at church? You see, your faith and your devotion and your passion for Christ has to be clear to the bone. Why? If you're passionate about your love for the Lord, our kids will catch that. They might not know all the details and all of the little things about our faith, but they'll catch that. If you're truly passionate about the things of God, they'll catch it. But if you're inconsistent, they'll see the hypocrisy too. Spurgeon, or I can't remember if it was Spurgeon or Wesley, but they said this, people love passion. And then he said this, you want to draw a crowd? Set yourself on fire and people will come to watch you burn. Now, you can only do that once, but the point is, if you're passionate about something, people will want what you have. Isn't that true? If you're passionate about something, people want what you have. They're drawn to that. You know what most kids need? They don't need a perfect dad. That only produces intimidation. You know what they need? They need a dad whose life has been invaded by the Lord, clear down to the bone. And that there's a passion in his soul that burns. No, he's not someone that's bazonkers. He's not someone on a crusade, but someone who's passionate about loving God and growing in God. That's what they want to see. Not only is it people that are passionate about God, but would you write in your next one there, focusing on in your life's convictions and starting with me. Number two, they need to see your persistence in learning. Your persistence, or our persistence in learning. It's not only a passion for God, but the passion of God is expressed in the way that we learn. Let your kids see that we are committed to learning. Because, you know, if I'm learning, my kids will be learning too. If I'm committed to learning and growing, they will too. Tell your children what you're learning. Tell them often. You know, I was praying this morning, and you know what God told me? You know, I've been struggling with something, and you know what God's been speaking to me about? And when they begin to hear that expressed, they'll say, you know, my dad, my mom, my uncle, my auntie, my grandpa, my grandma, they're learning. And when they see that you're learning as a normal course of life, they begin to be a people learning too. And then they start saying, God, you're saying that to my dad. You're saying that to my uncle. Lord, what are you saying to me? Because you see, in life, more will be caught than taught. More will be absorbed than lectured. And as you're around and you allow it to start with you, it'll catch. And not only your persistence in learning, but they'll catch it from your priorities in life. Your priorities in life. Would you write that down? What are your priorities in life? For example, where do you spend your time? And what do you spend your money on? What do you say yes to, and what do you say no to in life? What causes you to say, let's invest in this, let's do that? What are your priorities in life? Where do you spend your time? Is that priorities? Your family, is your God, is your spouse priority? Let them see your priorities in life. And you see, you'll not have priorities in life. You won't be persistent in learning. There won't be that kind of quality in life about a passion for Christ unless this stuff starts with you. So the first key in this whole deal is it begins with me, not with them. Oh, it's so easy to say, you got to start. But it starts with us. In our priorities in life and our time, you know, as we read that little essay, grandmas and grandpas have a lot of time. And in this culture that we live in, there's a lot of people I know that have to work, both mom and dad, to just make ends meet. And sometimes you'll feel guilty about it because you can't spend that much time. But you know something? I have seen God understanding that. Now, you'll have to hear me very carefully. I have seen God understand that, and God will intervene. For example, my mom, I saw very little of her at times, but I knew she was working because we needed to survive. Because I'm not saying we don't need to work, but let me talk to some others. When we begin to put our career ahead of our role as parents, then we're wrong. No, I'm not talking about those that have to work just to survive. But when we get caught up in the spin cycle of a fast-forward culture, what happens is sometimes we don't work to survive. But we begin to go beyond that in our culture, and we begin to work to stroke our ego. You see, we breach that line, and we go beyond that to accumulate more, to accumulate bigger, to career advance ourselves, to get a bigger car, a bigger house, a better house. Then we have to take on a second job just to keep up the payments, and we do all of that at the expense of our families. So all of us need to work, but there's a point where you and I have to draw the line and say, all right, from this point on, I'm not working to survive. I'm really working to stroke my ego at the expense of my family. And there's a whole lot of families that have breached that line and don't even realize it. And would you see that with me? And we can come back and say, I think we have enough here. Let's spend some time with our families.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Raising Children Without Raising Your Blood Pressure by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Tomorrow, Pastor Wayne will teach us that you can raise godly children in an ungodly world. It's a message that every parent needs to hear. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.